Psalm 119 mentions the importance of keeping God's word. In fact, it mentions it 29 times. Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth says that means we need to pay attention.
You think if God says it 29 times in one chapter that we need to keep his word, obey his word? Makes me wonder, how many things do I know about God's word that I'm not doing?
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth, author of A 30-Day Walk with God in the Psalms. For June 24th, 2025, I'm Dana Gresh. Here's Nancy in the series, Revive Me According to Your Word, Reflections on Psalm 119.
I came across a blog post not too long ago by my friend Randy Alcorn. You probably know that name. He's a fabulous author, has just such a great heart for the Lord. And I want to read you a rather lengthy segment from that post because it reflects something that's really on my heart as we're extending this Bible reading challenge to people. Randy said, "We live in a culture that is saturated with entertainment options. Young men are growing up being consumed with video games and other media outlets that have become substitutes for reading. There is a functional illiteracy rate in our culture, meaning these young people can read, but they don't. They read Facebook, but don't read anything serious. I'm concerned that there are many young people growing up, and particularly many young men, who, because they are not readers, will not be readers of God's word. One day they will be leading our churches, and many of them will not know the scriptures." Now, I'm going to keep going, but let me just say, I know there aren't a lot of young men listening to this program, but there are a lot of moms and grandmoms who have sons and daughters. And I just want to encourage you, get your kids reading. God gave his word. It's to be read. And if people don't enjoy reading, they're not going to enjoy reading God's word. So just a real encouragement there for those of you who have young ones in your home. Now, Randy goes on to say, "I would say my own home church, which we started back in 1977, would probably score in the 90th percentile of Bible teaching churches when it comes to biblical literacy. I know we would be much better than average. Yet the level of biblical knowledge among our church body has, in these 33 years, steadily declined. That is a source of great concern for me, and I think this problem is reflected in the way people live and certainly in the way that they think. At the beginning of our church, a Christian worldview was much better established in many people's minds than it is in the mind of the average attendee today. Sadly, that is the case." And I would just say amen and amen. It's so grievous to me to think of how even in our best churches, so few people really know God's word. And that is reflected in the way that they think about everything, about politics, about business, about careers, about education, about relationships, about marriage. It's reflected in the way they think and the way that they live, that they're not moored in a biblical worldview. Randy concludes this post by saying, "There are still people who are studying and hungering for God's word. That's encouraging and good. And that's why so many of you are here today. But there are also a lot of people," he says, "who are not studying and reading. That is certainly discouraging." And that is why we're doing this daily Bible reading challenge. And if you're tired of hearing me talk about it, I'm sorry to say I'm going to keep talking about it because it's something that is so much on my heart just to get people reading the scripture. I actually did this past year, something I'd never done before. It was a great blessing. Last summer, I did a 90-day Bible reading journey. Now, I didn't quite make it in 90 days. It took me a little over 100 days, but it was the most compact reading I had ever done through God's word. And I invited people to do it with me, just some friends, and we did a little Facebook group to talk about how God was ministering to us through his word. And I was amazed to find, though I probably shouldn't have been, how many people have never read through God's word, have never read every part of it. I have a dear friend who loves God's word. She's a gifted Bible teacher. She's been studying and teaching God's word for decades, loves the Lord, loves his word, but she acknowledged as we started this thing that she had never read the entire Bible. And when we got to Numbers and Deuteronomy, she said, "I've never read these books before." Now, granted, they're not the easiest books in the Bible to read, but they are part of God's word. And when I realized that there were entire portions of God's word that this dear friend had never read before, a friend who loves God's word, then I thought, we've got to do something about this. We need to challenge people to be reading God's word every day. That's the challenge I'm throwing out to all of our listeners. Just stop and say, God, that's what I want to do. I want to read your word every day. So read the Bible every day, and that's why we're talking about Psalm 119, a great, massive psalm on the glories and splendors of God's word. Now, as we look at Psalm 119 today, I want to attempt the impossible, which is to have 9 points in the time we have remaining. And some of you who've been around a while know that I could stretch those 9 points into 9 whole programs or longer. But I want to talk about, from Psalm 119, 9 different ways to respond to God's word. We've talked about the blessings that come when we read God's word. Now I want to talk about different ways that we can respond to the word of God, that we should respond to the word of God. I'm going to mention most of these just very briefly, and then I'll spend a little more time on 1 or 2 of them. The first one is we need to learn the word of God. And this appears several times. Verse 7, I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. It is good for me that I was afflicted, verse 71 says, that I might learn your statutes. Verse 73, give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. 125, I am your servant, give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. To learn God's word, to know it. Listen, you can't obey or apply what you don't know. So this is a starting place. This is one of the reasons so many people don't obey God's word, because they don't know God's word. I wish I could show you some of the correspondence we get here at Revive Our Hearts from people whose lives are hopelessly enmeshed in all kinds of behaviors and patterns and sins and challenges because they don't know God's word. Now, we're going to see that knowing God's word isn't enough, but it's certainly a starting place. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't believe, you can't act on what you don't know. Read it. Get to know it. If you've never read Numbers and Deuteronomy before, you're going to be amazed. There's great stuff in there. And even the stuff you can't understand or you don't get, it's still great. And it will be feeding and nourishing your soul. Learn it, know it. 2, seek the word of God. Seek God, who is the author of his word. Verse 10 of Psalm 119, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Verse 45, I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I won't go into a whole session on what it means to seek the Lord and his word, but it certainly implies something intentional, that you're being proactive about this. 3, choose the ways of God. Choose his truth, or set your heart on his ways. You find both these going together in Psalm 119. Verse 30, for example, I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. Again, we see an intentionality about choosing God's ways. Let your hand be ready to help me, verse 173 says, for I have chosen your precepts. We are to choose God's word. 4, remember God's word. And the other side of that coin, which I'll keep this all under 4, is don't forget God's word. You see both of these throughout the psalm. Verse 52, Lord, I remember your judgments from long ago and find comfort. That word remember there means to recollect, to bring it back to mind, to reflect upon it. I remember your judgments. And then conversely, verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I have to just tell you, I've been trying to memorize portions of Psalm 119 because I want to remember God's word. And it's, I don't know what it is, but sometimes it seems when I come to verse 16 over and over again, I can't remember verse 16. And it says, I will not forget your word. And I just kind of laugh at myself. I go, oh yeah, it's that one about remembering God's word. Verse 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Verse 141, I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. And when we talk about remembering God's word, it's a good place to mention scripture memory. You want to remember God's word. Remember it. 5, another response is that we are to turn toward God's word rather than away from it. Turn toward it. rather than away from it. Listen to these verses. The arrogant constantly ridicule me, but I do not turn away from your instruction. Verse 102, I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. Verse 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray or wander from your precepts. So I don't turn away from your law. And then verse 59, I thought about my ways and turned my steps back to your decrees. As we said in the last session, that's a verse that's talking about repentance. Thinking about my ways and then turning my steps toward God's decrees. If I've been going the other direction, I turn around and go God's direction. So turn toward God's ways rather than away from them. Number six, sing. Sing. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning, says verse 54. When I read that verse, I think of two New Testament characters. First, or two New Testament accounts. The first is Paul and Silas in Acts 16, singing in that Philippian jail, singing hymns to God at midnight when they've been beat and persecuted, tortured for their faith. They're singing hymns. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. And then I think of that scene at the end of the Last Supper when Jesus was en route to Gethsemane and then from there to the cross. And it says, the scripture tells us that they sang a hymn and then went out. Probably sang a hymn from the Psalms. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. Verse 172, my tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. I came across not too long ago a neat resource, a woman who wanted to memorize Psalm 119 with her two youngest children. So she was a musician and she set out, she's written a song for each of the 22 8-verse stanzas of Psalm 119. And they're catchy tunes. It's a way to memorize. The translation they used is the King James translation. It's just word for word, Psalm 119. And she used this to help her children memorize Psalm 119. You've heard the phrase, perhaps, what's learned in song is remembered long. Now, you don't have to sing Psalm 119, but sing songs that bring to mind the word of God, the ways of God. Sing his word, for all his commandments are right. Number seven, another response to God's word is to meditate on God's word. Now, I'm just going to mention that one here because I want to spend the better part of a session in our next program talking about meditation. But just a couple of verses. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. We're going to come back to that because it's such a key way that we respond to God's word. And then number eight, I really want to park on this one for a little bit here. We are to keep the word of God. Keep his word. I think it's 29 times, if I counted correctly, that Psalm 119 talks about keeping the word of God. Not just knowing it, but keeping it. Obedience. It's the idea of keeping a covenant. We're in a covenant relationship with God. He keeps his covenant with us, and he calls us to keep that covenant with him. Look at verse 2, for example. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Verse 4, you have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Verse 5, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Verse 8, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Move down to verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Go down to verse 55. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. Verse 60. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. 63. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. Verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Verse 69, the insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Just two more here. Verse 167, my soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Now, maybe you're thinking, couldn't you just have read one of those and made the same point? Why read all of those? Well, I didn't read all 29. But you need to read all 29. You think if God says it 29 times in one chapter that we need to keep his word, obey his word? Makes me wonder, how many things do I know about God's word that I'm not doing? How many broken relationships do I have that I've not taken initiative to restore? I know God's word says to forgive. Where am I holding bitterness in my heart? I know God's word. Am I keeping it? Am I keeping it? It's not enough to just know it. Having a heart to obey God's word is an evidence that we belong to him. For the child of God, obedience is not a burden. It's a delight. And notice that we're not just talking about behavior here. We're talking about obeying God with our whole heart. Heart obedience, having an upright heart. 7 times we read that in Psalm 119. And our commitment to keep God's covenant, remember this, it's a response to his covenant-keeping character. Remember Exodus 34, if you've read Exodus? It says, he is a God who keeps steadfast love for thousands. He's a covenant keeper. And when he enters into a covenant relationship with us, one of the marks that we are in that covenant with him is that we have a heart to keep his word. But let me remind you, and I've tried to say this repeatedly through the series because we're focusing a lot on the Old Testament law here. We need the bigger context of the whole of Scripture, which reminds us that only Christ was able to perfectly keep God's law. And that's why we need his saving grace and the power of his Holy Spirit to enable us to do that which we cannot do apart from his power. We cannot keep God's word. We can't obey this. We can't do what Psalm 119 says 29 times. We can't keep God's word unless God keeps us. And thank God he does keep us. Jude 24, to him who is able to keep you from falling, he keeps us so we can keep his word. Jesus prayed in Psalm 17, Holy Father, keep them in your name. I have guarded them. Keep them from the evil one. He keeps us. He lives in us. And that's why we can keep his law. And then one more, number 9. Responses to God's word. Number 9 is we are to share it with others. Share it with others. Psalm 119, verse 13, with my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. Verse 46, I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. Now, it's interesting that when we talk about sharing God's word with others, we're saying you don't just take it in for yourself. You do. You learn it. You memorize it. You meditate on it. We'll talk more about that in the next session. You sing it. You pray it. You internalize it. You keep it. But then there needs to be outflow. It's not just for us. It's also to share with others. Psalm 119 is a very personal psalm. It's a psalmist who uses the word I over and over again. I will keep, I will obey, I will do. It's between him and God. This is a prayer. So it's his soul's conversation with God. It's an individual walk with God, which, by the way, is a reminder that you can walk with God and with his word even if no one else around you does. He talks about all those enemies who opposed him, all those people who were lying about him, who were trying to take him down. He lived in a difficult world. He didn't live, you know, this is not like a monastery where there's no trouble. There was trouble everywhere, but he could still keep God's word. So in that sense, it's talking about a very individual walk with God. But there's also a corporate sense, a corporate dimension that comes out a few times in Psalm 119. And I just want to close by pointing 3 of those verses out to you. Verse 63 says, I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. This is not just an individual walk. It is that. But it's also a walk with other like-minded, like-hearted believers. The psalmist was mindful of others who, like him, had a heart to keep God's word. And it's a reminder that we are not alone on this journey. You may sometimes feel that you're alone. You may be the only believer in your family, or in your workplace. You may feel like you're the only person in your church who has a serious heart to follow God and His Word. But remember, there are others. There are others who are with you on this journey, who are seeking Him, who are walking the same path, and you are part of that community of faith. We need each other. True followers of Christ, I am a companion of all who fear you, he says in verse 63, of those who keep your precepts. True followers of Christ are marked by fear of the Lord, by a heart for His Word, and by an obedient walk. We have those things in common, however many other differences we may have, and we're drawn to others who are like-minded and like-hearted. And then look at verse 74. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice because I have hoped in your word. When you obey God's word, it's not just you who gets blessed, but other believers who see you take God's word seriously, they are encouraged and they are challenged. They see the fruit of God's word in your life and their life will be blessed as a result. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice because I have hoped in your word. Whose life will be encouraged because you have taken God's word seriously, because you have hoped in God's word? And then verse 79, let those who fear you turn to me that they may know your testimonies. I think that suggests that our lives can make others hungry for God's word. Who wants to know God better because they've been around you? Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for your word. Wow, it's so precious. And we want to be women who seek your word, who know it, who memorize it, who meditate on it, who turn toward it, who remember it, who sing it, who choose it and set our hearts on it, and women who keep your word and then share out of the overflow with others. Just think of all the things we talk about when we get together. And wouldn't it be an incredible thing if in our small groups and our fellowship times and in the aisle after a church service and when we're on the phone with each other and we're Facebooking and we're texting, if your word was a core part of what we were sharing in our social networking. Oh, wouldn't it be great if we were doing that around your word? So Lord, help us not to wait for others to do it, but to lead the way, to set the course, and may our lives lead others to become hungry for you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
That's Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth in the series Revive Me According to Your Word. The series is based on Psalm 119. Nancy, you've been pointing us to the 30-day Bible reading challenge that women can join at reviveourhearts.com, and that's not the only resource we're making available as we encourage women to read God's Word this month.
That's right. We want to do everything we can to encourage people in this Bible reading challenge. I feel so passionate about this thing of encouraging people to read the Bible every day. So at reviveourhearts.com, you'll find a whole selection of Bible reading plans that you can take a look at, find the one that best suits your needs, and I hope that you'll take a moment to sign up for the Bible reading challenge.
That's right. Thank you, Nancy. We really do have so many plans for you to choose from. And even though it's customary to begin one of those in January, who says you can't get started in June? I think the enemy would just love it if you held off on reading your Bible until January 1st, don't you think? Just because that's when most people start their reading plans doesn't mean that's when you have to start yours. Don't give the devil the satisfaction. If you aren't in a regular habit of reading the Word, pick a plan. Start today. Summer is a wonderful time for fresh starts and renewed habits. We'll put a link to the list of Bible reading plans in the transcript of today's episode. Now, we also want to offer you a supplementary resource to use as a tool for understanding Scripture as you read. It's a book by Colin Smith called Fly Through the Bible, and it's a great resource to give you a big picture overview of Scripture or to help you teach a friend about it. Along with Colin's book, we're also offering an art print featuring Nancy's short written piece called The Word. It would look so beautiful as a decoration in your home to remind you that God's Word is wonderful and worth reading and responding to. These resources are yours when you make a donation of any amount to Revive Our Hearts. You can give by visiting reviveourhearts.com/wonderful or call us at 1-800-569-5959. And when you do call, ask for your book and art print. We can't wait to send them as our way of saying thank you. As you aim to read the Bible more, you don't necessarily need more willpower. What do you need instead? We'll talk about it tomorrow. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.